I don't know if, I don't need a microphone, do I? Can you all hear me okay? Fantastic, fantastic. Well, I want to tell you, I am elated to be here. We had I go to Romania quite a bit. I had a tougher time coming to Cleveland, Ohio than going to Timisoara, Romania. Unreal, okay? The weather, something's just going on in, Delta is having a really chaotic situation right now. They're like backlogged 3 days because of the storms pushing through from last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they kept on doing cancellations. And I fly a lot, a plethora of, I mean, my son, my daughters, we just fly quite a bit, especially when we do meetings and whatnot. But nonetheless, we get to Gainesville, we're delayed. Okay, no problem. I can go back home there, all right? Get to Atlanta. All right, your plane is delayed. Then it's canceled. Then it's delayed, another one. And it's like, wow. So we leave there, after 10 or whatnot. We got in Columbus, Ohio at 12:05 last night, okay, this morning. All right. So from Columbus, Ohio, we get the rental car, leaving there. We got there around 1:25. I pulled in the parking lot out here. I wanted to make sure I knew how to get back here. Been a while since I've been here. Okay. Pulled in at 3:30, and Dave saying, "I'm so glad he didn't knock on my door then." All right. So I thought, okay, what's a brother for? Okay. So I thought, well, I'll be punctual. I'll wait till 8:00. So I just rode down to the Hampton Inn, and we just rode down there, so we didn't go. I ain't gonna pay no whatever to stay in the Hampton Inn for 3 hours, all right? So we just stayed in the parking lot, and I came back at 8:00. I knocked on the door. I said, "Hey, Danny Allen. And hey, can I have a hot shower?" First words, okay? He's like, "Oh my goodness," okay? So
that's where we're at. So we're running on literally
fumes, but that's okay. Because you know what? God is good. God is real good, ladies and gentlemen. And when you walk with God, the crux of the matter is this. I can't facilitate this any better. God will walk with you. Okay? So
all this week,
here's the main event, okay? Jesus Christ. I am a believer. My son is a believer. My children, I have four, they're believers in Jesus Christ. That is the crux. There is no
higher. He is par excellent. No higher than Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be here for a short time.
Short time.
Thursday, might be over before you know it. I hope you all have
invited people to come to the meeting this week. I hope you have.
Not because of me. Not because I've had delays and whatnot.
But I don't want you to be delayed one day. Because one day we're going to go on a journey, every one of us. And when we go on that journey, it's going to be yay or nay. Gentlemen, and I'm being seriously, I'm being candid with you all. We got to get our life right now so it will be right then. I'm not saying that flippantly. I want you to understand God is real and he'll help you. There's a lot going on in my paradigm right now. My wife's in Tijuana, Mexico. She's fighting stage 4 breast cancer. All right. My daughter Angel is with her. Some of you know them. God has been fighting that battle for her. Been married for 32 years, and I am happily married, and I'm thankful. My wife had this 4 years ago. They gave her about just a few days. And God has been good, hasn't he? And it's a win-win situation. Because when you live in the Lord, the Bible says in Psalms 116, verse 15, it's even better when you die in the Lord. That's just the way it is. But all of a sudden,
we're going to look at this. Elders are servant leaders.
Don't want to digress or whatnot. But I want to tell you some things about elders. And the way I'm going to facilitate this morning, I know I only have a very few minutes, but I can talk pretty fast. All right? But we're going to have as an open Bible class and whatnot. And if you have a question for Mr. Allen, and if you want to stump the preacher, here it is. Do it. Because I'll say, "Andy, help me." Okay? I'll say, "David, take it."
Brothers, okay, help me out here, all right? Okay, that's just the way it goes.
Actually, everything you need to know is in that Bible. Isn't that what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says? That's why Jesus will say in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. My words are truth. So we don't have nothing to be ashamed now, do we? Elders are vital. They're very vital. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the reason they're vital is because that's the pattern of the church. Now, if the church doesn't have elders, that doesn't mean you're sinning or whatnot. Because every church that don't have elders, we're striving to have elders, are we not? That's the goal.
We need men to step up to the plate. But a man can't step up to the plate without his woman, okay? Because you're not going to have faithful elders unless you have a faithful wife. That's the way it is. In fact, you're not going to have faithful elders unless you have faithful children. That's the way it is. That's not my regime. That's not my humanity. That is what the Bible says. Will you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please?
Let's take 1 Timothy chapter 3.
Good morning, and we're so happy to have you here.
So happy. And by the way, just for what time do you usually close? 9:30 or 9:25? 9 what?
The worship starts at 9:50, so.
9:40? Okay, thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that very much. No problem. So the way we're going to look at this, ladies and gentlemen, we know that in the scriptures, basically, we understand, do we not, that we have a couple passages that talks about elders. We could go to here to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We could go to Titus chapter 1 and whatnot. For time's sake, and the way that we're going to do this is basically we'll drive from here and we'll look at this context because this is the bulk. This is the meat of the word here when it talks about really elders.
Now there's other passages
that talks about elders, deacons, and what we need to understand. But for this morning, let's look at this, and we'll try to facilitate it in a way to where we can simplify it so we can get a grasp about elders. Because it seems to me, in places I've been, in preaching the gospel, that there's been confusion about elders.
No one is ever going to be an elder because, big night, you got to, hey, we're going to have perfect children.
I mean,
that's going to be tough. And what about being a perfect man? Or being a perfect wife? I mean, come on. We all sin, do we not?
But here's the fact. There's amazing grace. And that amazing grace has been given to you and has been given to me. And what are we doing with our lives? And I'll tell you this. If you love Jesus Christ, if you love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, if you got your directions going the right way, brethren, it can't happen. And just because it's not happening doesn't mean that we don't have a goal for in the future to make it happen. Because if you don't have vision, you'll never reach your goal. But when you have vision and when you can focus, ladies and gentlemen, you'll hit your goal every time when you give it to God. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So thank you for being here so much. We're elated to be here. And I want to look at this with you very quickly. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Andy, would you read verses 1 through verse 7, please?
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality after speech. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Oh my goodness. I'll tell you what, this is pretty heavy to me, but you know what's even heavier to me, ladies and gentlemen? The devil. This is why a lot of congregations, they don't have elders. This is why a lot of congregations, they don't even have faithful members. This is why a lot of churches are dying and I've seen it. In my little corner of my world, in the travels that I've been able, by God's grace, to be able to see, the devil. He's just always there. I don't need to talk about the devil to you because I know what the devil does to me. And I'll tell you what he does to me. He wants to devour me, chew me up, and spit me out. But notice the connotation why we need to be very cautious. You don't, about a man and he's a novice. And when we say that, by the way, what are we talking about when it talks there being a novice, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, yeah, young. Though, you know, maybe he just became a child of God or whatnot. You know, he's and it's not wrong. Ignorant. I'm ignorant of a lot of things, okay? There's no doubt about that. But this is something that you grasp. You got to take it seriously. That's why we entitled this, Elders Are Servant Leaders. This is not hodgepodge. It's not a bunch of bunk. This is something a man and a woman, they got to hold together. And if they don't hold it together, how in the world, if their life is not together, how in the world do you think they're going to keep a body of people together? It's not going to happen. And that's why churches are Christian. They're Christian all over the United States, all over Europe, and everywhere else. Because it's almost like a, you know, this is just a program.
A government program. But it's not. This is a spiritual program. And there's a big difference, ladies and gentlemen. That's why in Colossians 3:2, the Bible says, you set your mind on things above,
not on things below. We're looking at the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. So, as we look at this, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, Titus 1, verse 6, it says literally a one-wife man, okay?
Okay, we got to
understand that, right? He must be a married man. Now, there's people who tell me, you don't have to be married. And there's congregations I know I've been to, they're elders, and they're not married. What does that say?
They're not following God's pattern.
Absolutely, Dave. Nevertheless,
that's what they're doing. Now, I just judged, didn't I?
But there's a difference in judging. In judging righteous judgment. I hope you all understand that. Randy, I'm not trying to be condescending here. When I judge,
judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Isn't that what the good book said in John 7, verse 24? And we know in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. I don't want nothing else to come out of my mouth this morning. All I want to do, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, I want to speak as the oracles of God, nothing more, nothing less. Let's give God the glory, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's about on this day, is to give God the glory. So he must be a married man. This excludes women and single men, does it not? Does it not? But if his wife dies, does that disqualify him? That's what a lot of people ask me. So,
I don't know what you think about that. Because a lot of people,
they have different opinions on this. But I'm just going to tell you my moxie,
my spiritual tutelage, what I feel.
And what I feel can be absolutely wrong. That's why you examine yourself, you examine the scriptures,
you try the scriptures, and you make sure,
Philippians chapter 2, that you're following them. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay?
So when I say, don't put the truth in me,
but put the truth in Jesus Christ. And never be ashamed of that. So what I
think about this is, ladies and gentlemen, I know some say this is when they started serving. But folks, God says he's a husband and one wife.
Okay? And that's how I believe it. He's a husband of one wife. And I believe it's very vital that we follow the example. Now, if a congregation, they go some other way, you know, God will judge them, and they'll have to give their testimony to that. But if we stay with the scripture, how can you ever go wrong? You just can't go wrong. But nonetheless, you know, that's something to think about. It is always
best to stay with what he conveys.
His rhetoric is always the best way.
1 Timothy 3, 4, Titus 1, 6. Have an obedient children.
What do you think about that?
Talking about having obedient
children. I'd like to just like to get some input from you all. Randy?
Well, if a husband is leading the family the way he should, then they're going to be obedient to him, and it follows they'll be obedient to God.
Okay. Well, he facilitated that pretty good, didn't he?
I mean,
that sounds pretty good. I'll give you money
later, okay? No, but that really sounded pretty good, didn't it? That made sense to what we read in the context that Andy read for us. Any other thoughts on that? Anyone? If you just raise your hand. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
I remember as a child never wanting to disappoint my dad, because I love him so much.
Amen.
So it would be obedience due to the fact that there is love for the parent and respect for the parent.
Amen. That's beautiful. I love it. Wouldn't the world be a lot better if most children have respect for their children or parents? Oh, by the way, that's what the Bible says anyway in Ephesians 6, isn't it? In Colossians. But we don't see that today too much. We just don't see it. Why? The devil. But when I do see it, isn't that a beautiful example? When you do see a wife and a man and they're in love with one another, what does that exemplify, folks? What does that exemplify? God and the church. See, that's the big picture. And with this, this is the big picture. So we're putting in the big rocks. Absolutely correct. Absolutely. The love, it's got to be there. And if there's not going to be no love, even as Randy alluded to, it's not going to happen. We have to have love. So, yes, they're going to be faithful, obedient children. So let me ask you a personal question. Let's just get to the point here. When it says obedient children, obedient, in what way?
It's like a military term.
Okay. It doesn't mean to be militant, okay? A good way. A good way. But when we look at this obedience, some translations will say faithful children rendition. And when you look it up in the Greek, that's exactly what it means. Faithful children. What are faithful children? What do we mean when we say you have faithful children? What's faithful mean? What is that alluding to?
Following the guidelines that God has set forth.
Are these people who have been baptized or not baptized? That's where I'm getting at. And we'll go down in the rest of the scriptures. We'll convey that. All right. So these are people in a covenant relationship with God. That's vital. But there's some congregations, I'll tell you, they don't think so. But again, God will judge them like God will judge us. Okay. But the best way is to stay with the script. What does the scripture say? Just read the Bible. That's all you need, folks. There's so much going on in the world, we don't know which way to go. You know? The guy yesterday, in Atlanta, boycott, Delta, boycott Delta, boycott Delta. It's like, what? Rude. I'm thankful to get on the plane. Hey, if they don't want me to get on the plane, there might be a reason not to get on that plane, you know? 30,000 feet up, going over 500 miles per hour, that's not a good situation. There's something wrong with the plane. Or a church that don't have faithful elders, there's something wrong with the church, ladies and gentlemen.
And if there isn't, there will be. Because it will fall back. Because no one will make mockery out of God. No one. No one. How does the Bible use the word children? Now, a lot of people say, well, children. So does that mean you gotta have one children, you gotta have more than one children?
And that's a good question, isn't it? So what's faithful children? Is it one? Is it more than one? Oh, now we're getting
a little bit difficult here. We're gonna have to, are you guys awake? I've been up all night, alright? So
come on now, help me out here. So, with your knowledge
of the scriptures,
what do you think, okay?
Just give me your gut feeling, give me your inspiration, give me your God knowledge, give me something, okay? When you hear this, faithful children, what do you think about this? One or more than one? Okay. Okay. So we got one and we got
more than one,
okay? Well, I guess we're going to find out, all right? So I'm going to give you the Bible,
and I'm going to show you how the Bible uses it.
All right? And Amanda, that's the best thing you can do, is just follow the Bible. I remember a guy named Brian told me this a long time ago. He's younger than me. No. All right. Okay, here we go. So when we look
at it, how does the Bible use the word children or child? You can look, and we won't have time to read all these, so I want to get this to you. And I'm going to go along with this, but these scriptures are Bible, okay? Genesis 11:30,
Matthew 2:20, Luke 20, 27 through 31, Ephesians 6:1, 1 Timothy 5:4-10. And we're looking at, I'm going to give you the Hebrew and the Greek and whatnot, and I want to show you the way that the Bible is set up with this. Again, don't take my word for it. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to do your homework. To make it to heaven, you got to do your homework. You never take the preacher's sound advice. I'm not knocking Dave or whatnot, okay? I just met David. He's a pretty good man. He let me in his house and take a hot shower this morning. And if you would have saw me, you would have thought, man, I'm glad he did. All right? So nonetheless,
okay, so look at this. But I want to give you the systematic process of how the Bible uses this word, okay?
And you can take it from that, all right? The syntax, okay? The Greek syntax. The study of the rules for the formation of grammatical sentence in a language means to join, put together, orderly,
or a systematic arrangement. The arrangement of words as the element in a sentence to show their relationship to one another. Sounds pretty impressive.
Alright. I mean, it's almost like I'm an English major. And let me tell you, I'm not. Okay? But nonetheless,
let's go on here, okay? So, in Genesis 11:30, now watch this. But Sarah was barren, she had no child.
Hebrew, valid.
That meant a boy or a child.
That's what the word means in Hebrew. I'm just giving you a shortcut here. I know you like to use the concordance, the lexicon. I know Andy probably just loves getting in there and flipping through that, and, you know, it's just so fun to do. Now we got Google, so it helps out a great deal, doesn't it? Okay?
Today, in the English Version Bible, Sarah was not able to have children. Isn't that interesting?
And by the way,
that's a good Bible, too. Tradition.
It's not
paraphrase.
I'm telling you, the Hebrew word
means the same thing. So in one position it says child, and another one says children. How interesting
is that, ladies and gentlemen? Genesis 21:7.
The term children can mean offspring or young people without regard to number.
How about that? Without regard to number. Now, I'm not here to say, oh, he thinks he knows it all, because I'll tell you what, I don't. But I will say the Bible does. Okay? This is true in English as well
as in the Greek,
ladies and gentlemen. Note,
a sign that says no children admitted would be understood to apply to any number of children, even just one.
Do you see that sign today, and you see it at the movie theater or whatnot,
or you see it at the airport? No children admitted, and I go up and ask the officer, does that mean one, two, or three? They're going to say,
I don't care if you have one, or I don't care if you have 10. No children is admitted. All right? Nevertheless, I don't care what people say. We'll stick with the Bible, all right? Luke 20,
very interesting,
and you'll have time to look at this. Verse 27 through 31, remember, again, you got to work out your own salvation. Can someone tell me what 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, right off the hand? It starts like this, study. Is he the second preacher here? Okay. It's good. Okay.
One of many.
It's good. And even his wife, Deidre, knew it. But you think about this. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's all we're doing here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to be bombastic this morning. But I am trying to be sagacious. Now you say, what in the world is sagacious? What's that about? It means nothing to us. But I tell you what, In the eyes of God, it means everything. What it means is that you're putting your mind on spiritual things, and you want to teach people spiritually with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, we don't go around speaking in Hebrew and Greek today, now do we? And you don't need to. You don't need to. But I'll tell you what, you do need to be speaking Jesus Christ. You do need to do that. And I'm talking about women and men, and boy and girl. Because if you're not speaking about him, he won't be in your life. And that's the way it is. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees. Now watch this. Which denied that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he died without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up the seed unto his brother. Well, in the American Standard Version, in verse 28, it means childless. So one, it means children, and another, it says childless. Gentlemen, let's go on here. Verse 9. There were therefore seven brethren. Now watch this, how it uses it. And the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her for a wife and died childless. Look how it uses it in a plural way and also in a single way. It's very interesting how the Holy Spirit would talk here. Not you, not me, the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they had left no children, and died. Again, American Standard Version, verse 29, childless. Okay? Now we understand that this was the Sadducees asking about the resurrection. We understand the bulk of context of what's going on here, folks. We understand that. The concordance of the Bible, if you want to do that. Luke 20, verse 28, 29, the Greek word for children means ekkenos, and if your palate is better than mine, you can pronounce it however you want to pronounce it, okay? No problem there. But I'll tell you what it means. It means childless without children. That's why the Bible would use it both ways. Children or childless. It wasn't a misprint. It's just what the Bible used. The schematic. The Greek word for children means technon. Now watch what it means. This is what the Bible says, okay? It means a child as produced, child, daughter, or son. Okay? 1 Timothy 5, 4, children, the word study, Greek word, technon, fair, definition, fair, we all know about fair, do we not? Definition, offspring, children, or child. There it is. That's what the Bible says. Now, you all have to come to grips with what you feel about that. And it's very vital to the congregation at Columbus Street, because if you have confusion about the situation, if you're befuddled about it, it will never work, you know? But if you rest on what God says, it will work. It will work. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can study this out, and I'm just giving you the quick fix here. But in 1 Timothy 5, 10, children, word study, Greek word. Here we go again. That's the big, long Greek word there. Their definition, to bring up child or children. There we go again. One or two is what it's saying. One or two, okay? Okay, Ephesians 6, 1, children, word study, technon means to begat, bring forth, to bear a child of either sex, okay? So here we go. You know, what we're trying to do is figure out one, or is it two, or...
Tell me about it.
What was the Greek grammar? Any English major in here? Because I'm not one. Okay, it's okay.
The plural is used, although the predicate refers primarily to one individual, when the writer wishes to keep the thought somewhat vague.
In Matthew 2:20, the plural is used with a reference to a single person. Listen to this. The plural was used with the reference to a single person by a generalizing mode of expression. Childs. Matthew 2, verse 20. That's a very interesting verse, ladies and gentlemen. So, the Greek, as the English, must be determined by the way it is used, is what we're understanding here. The question is, how is the word commonly used? That's what we want to know. It is mine, Danny Allen. That's me, folks. Conviction that both the Old and the New Testament use the plural in a generalizing way to include one or two. Don't take my word for it. Look at the verses I just gave you. That's the bottom line. That's the crux of it, okay? And we're not here to say, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong, you're right. Stick with God. Just follow God, ladies and gentlemen, and you can do it. Folks, we use the word the same way today. It has not changed. It should be pointed out that even though a man with only one child may technically satisfy the bare legal requirement of the qualification, faithful children, the more faithful children a man has, the more confidence we are able to have in his ability to lead others to follow Jesus Christ, is it not? I mean, one is great, but if you have five of them and they're all, wow,
I mean, God, mine, come on over.
Because that's what we want. Because God knows Satan's going to try to take those children and rip their hearts out. Look at me. Hear my story, ladies and gentlemen. A preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan wants my children bad. Bad. And I'm doing everything I can to hold on to them. Everything. But Satan wants them bad. Ladies and gentlemen, Webster New World Dictionary, Second College Edition, where I'm coming from, child or children means an infant, baby, or an unborn offspring. It can mean one or two. They view it the same way. The word means to beget, bring forth, to bear. 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, 1, 6, faithful children or children in submission, the question of whether they are faithful to him or to the Lord is much discussed. Okay? That's what people want to know. What is that alluding to? Viewing it, how would we know, you already said this, you already alluded to this, how would we know whether a man was capable of leading unless he had shown it in his ability to lead his children in his own house to become Christians? So I think it's kind of a rhetorical question. If a man can't lead his own children in his own house, how in the world is he going to lead the flock of God? Because that's what an elder is doing, leading the flock of God. Is he not? He is, another word, shepherd. All right? So, bishop, overseer. All those words are meaning elders. All right? We're not speaking in tongues. It's just what they mean, okay? So the context is the family setting there. I understand that. Not to use the Bible unruly. Titus 1:6 would not seem to fit children under the age of accountability to me, is what it is saying to me, you all. It might be saying something else to you. Riot means wastefulness. Unruly means not subject to rule, disobedient. An elder's family must be such that they will not bring shame upon the parents. And especially shame upon Jesus Christ. There's someone who is trying really to make it to heaven. That's all we're alluding to. Nothing wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. An elder is a leader. That's what that text is saying here. And for the men here at Cumberland Street, what I pray for you all here, as I pray with elders where we're at, as I pray for other congregations with elders or don't have elders, and we look at this, we pray God be given the glory. Let me give you the main thing about all life. What I'm about to say is very vital. Very vital. There's nothing more important in the world than what I'm about to say right now. Bar none. Nothing. And let me tell you what your life is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You ready to hear this? This is what your life is all about. We are committed in choosing to make God's time. Did you hear what I just said? We are committed in choosing to make God's mouth. The scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament bears that out. Here's what it says. We always ask ourselves, how can I glorify God in this situation? That, my friend, is what a Christian is. In the Old Testament, oh, absolutely. In the New Testament, you bet you. A servant, an elder, is someone who is going to try to help Columbus Street to make it to heaven. This is a good thing. And if we don't have elders, this is a vision we can have to have elders. Follow the text.
pray about it and pray hard about it.
And if you don't meet the qualification,
does that mean you're out? Absolutely not. If you're a man and
you're a great man, but maybe you're just not married, does that mean you're just going to give up all life?
Absolutely not. Ladies and gentlemen, does not God know best? Does not God know best for you? Let me just throw this in for free. By the way, when you die, who's going to judge you? Amen. Amen. An elder is a servant leader. You know why I say that? Because in 1 Peter 5:2, he must feed the flock of God. Isn't that what the Apostle Peter said? That's what he said. The Apostle Peter said, elder, you got to feed the flock of God. You got to feed the flock of God. That's what we got to do.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to a close here, may the men here consider the position of an elder with prayer, and may we all remember what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:1.
What did he say? Remember what was read? What Andy read for us?
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work.
That's the King James Version. By the way, that's the version I used because when I was 18 years old, that's the Bible they gave me. Now, I had to get my outside binded and whatnot. I'm so glad because my pages was falling out everywhere. When I was do meetings and whatnot, pages would be all over. They would think, oh, boy, I feel sorry for that man up there. But how can a man preach without the sword? Can't do that. That's my heart. No heart. No preaching. But ladies and gentlemen,
desire. Here we go. Pergo. Okay? To stretch towards, to aspire to. I long for this. This is a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. The New Strong Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible and the New Englishman Greek Concordance and Lexicon. In other words, you gotta have passion for it.
And if you don't have
passion for it, it will never come to fruition. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have passion to go into heaven, you're not going to heaven. You say, oh, you're just charismatic, or I know what's wrong with this man today.
Yeah, he got back to sleep. You know? Well, you got that part right, all right? But nevertheless, not about my passion. I don't put my passion on to show for you or to show to anyone else to say that I have passion. I have passion because Jesus says, Danny Allen, you better have passion. That's why I have passion. And by the way, that's just not for men either. That's for women. I know we gotta be orderly. I understand all about that. But I'll tell you what, we're all supposed to lead people to Jesus Christ, are we not? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, passion. Usually an elder are people who are a little bit more mature, alright? They're not a novice. I'm not saying he has to be 100 years old, but I'm saying he's just a little bit more mature. And these are people who really, these are people that they really desire to help the flock of God. And this is a good thing. A real good thing. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for all you do. And may you be with the Columbus Street Church of Christ. And God, may we look at what we just said this morning. And Lord, help us to give you the glory. And God, help us to realize why having elders is a good thing. And especially for congregations who don't have them yet, may they make it a goal and may they pray about it and have this passion that one day they can, but yet that they'll follow the guidelines and that the men will be faithful and that they will love you to all ends. Thank you, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and amen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.